This is the St. Mary Ann Cope Parish Podcast. Thanks for joining us. St. Mary Ann Cope Parish is the community of Catholic believers from Lakeland and Solvay, New York, located in Syracuse. Our podcast is here to help encourage and edify you in your faith.
The scriptures for this third Sunday of Easter are so packed with power for us that I could actually preach for 1 hour on each of the three readings, but I won't do that, I assure you. In that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which is the history of the early church immediately following the resurrection, we have the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, those who have been with Jesus, those who were eyewitnesses to his resurrection, those who were at the cross on Good Friday, those who had come to believe that he was the Messiah. We have them at that point in their lives where they have to make a decision, and they are being persecuted. Their lives are being threatened. And so, what are they to do? Are they to take the church underground? Are they to hide the fact that they're Christians? Or will they be obedient to Jesus, who has commanded them, go out and preach and teach to all people and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? That command of Jesus to go out, they could not ignore it, but had to be obedient to it, even though they were risking their lives to be obedient to God. So we have that choice, of course, in all of our lives. I remember a lot of years ago, I was on a hospital board in my first assignment, and there was a very influential man on the board. He had a lot of money, and everyone seemed to bow and scrape to him whenever he said anything at the board meetings. Well, this one time, the board began discussing some medical moral issues that had arisen. And so I listened for quite a while without speaking. And then finally I said, you know, I have to speak out on this because there are some serious errors being committed here and against the moral law. And I saw immediately he reacted, and then he kind of interrupted me and said, Father, you have to tone down the Catholic thing. Well, that was the wrong thing to say to me. Don't tell me to tone down anything, especially the Catholic thing. And so I said to him, no, I will not tone down the Catholic thing because it is the natural law. It's not just the Catholic thing. It was what God has revealed to us in nature. So, guess what happened? About 5 business days later, I receive a letter telling me that my services on the board were no longer needed. And I rejoiced. I rejoiced that I had taken a hit for the gospel. And in the minutes of that meeting were the fact that somebody had protested the law of the world and had presented the law of God. In the second reading from the book of Revelation, we have, in symbolic terms, symbols from the Old Testament book of Daniel. We have the vision of John the Divine, who sees heaven, and he sees the glory of heaven. He sees the countless angels around the throne of God, crying out, unceasingly praising God, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." And of course, we have that beautiful image of the four living creatures. Who are the four living creatures? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four living creatures are the authors of the four Gospels. And the four living creatures answer, "Amen. So be it. So be it." They give authority. They give certification, if you will, to the testimony of John's revelation. In the gospel reading, we have that miraculous catch of fish. We see that Jesus is present to his disciples in his glorified body. And we, as a church, for 40 days, will reflect on the appearances of Jesus as the risen Lord of glory. How he appeared to his disciples, how he allowed them to touch him, because he was not a ghost, but rather he was as concrete in his glorified body as you and I are here right now and can touch one another. And he ate with them. He cooked them breakfast on the beach. That's how concrete he wished to be with them. And that's how concrete is our hope when you and I say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting." That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that glorified existence which Jesus shows us in his risen body during these 40 days to the ascension. That miraculous catch of fish, of course, is a sign of the power of resurrected life. When God is with us and provident, when we accept his grace, wonderful things happen. His power is manifested in our midst and for our good, and it constantly calls us to salvation. It constantly calls us to be pure in our motivation, in everything about us, so that we can accept that grace. And then, of course, Jesus says to Simon Peter, he asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And of course, he's looking for that absolute confession of love. And so the first time he asks, Simon Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I know you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Maybe a reference to the fact that in his Petrine office, in the role that he will take in the church, that he is to feed the poor, those who are vulnerable, those who are the small of the world, not like that guy on the hospital board who was big in the world's eyes, but small in the eyes of God. And then again, he asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus gives him the command, "Tend my sheep." In other words, govern the church. govern the church, be that source of unity, clarify the issues of faith and morals so that there is not error among the people of God. Tend my sheep. And a third time he asks him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And of course, Peter's distressed. In Peter's humanity, he doesn't understand why he would ask for that third testimony. Well, Peter says to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And he's not talking simply about the food that we take to nourish our bodies, but he's talking about the food of the Word of God, the truth of revelation that God has gifted us with. God wants us to know him, and so God reveals himself to us. And so Peter and his successors are those who protect the deposit of faith, who protect what God has revealed to us. And then one more thing is required. It's not simply a matter of confessing. You know, sometimes they say, talk is cheap until it is tested. Talk is cheap until it is tested. So what's Jesus require of Peter? Well, he tells them, you know, when you were a young guy, you did what you wanted, you ran around and you had fun and you did all these things. Well, in maturity, when we learn the meaning of life, when we learn the true meaning of life, we understand that what we have confessed, we must embody with our lives. And so for Peter, it was his martyrdom. For Peter, his confession of Christ as the risen Lord of glory in his life, as his Savior and Redeemer, was to give his life on the cross, crucified upside down. Well, of course, you and I then, who are called by God and made the elect, we have been given the grace of baptism and confirmation. We are given that gift of the Holy Eucharist to nourish us. We are called to embody what we confess. Maybe it won't be martyrdom, but it probably will be some kind of suffering. Some kind of suffering to remain faithful unto death and win the crown of glory.
Thanks for joining us on the St. Mary Ann Cope Parish Podcast. If you have questions about St. Mary Ann Cope Parish, our locations, or any of our ministries, visit us online at stmaryanncope.org.